Good morning, everybody. I am Eureka John, and you are at... Is this... Okay, yeah. You are at Eureka Street Creative Podcast. It is November 9th, 2023. I am broadcasting from Leander, Texas, and it is... This is episode number 504, and this is my podcast covering all things... Well, I mean, a lot of things Web3 and crypto and tech oriented and journalism and free speech and anti-censorship and all that type of stuff. This is basically my brain dump to dump all the stuff that I learned throughout the 24-hour period between broadcastings lately, because I've been doing this every day again, which is great. This is my message in a bottle to find other people who, you know, like to learn and talk about this stuff as well. And this is my sandbox to play with all types of software and Web3 type of stuff and audiovisual equipment and everything like that. Hold on, let me get this camera angled slightly. All right. Okay, there. I was just kind of cockeyed to the side. Anyway, so yeah, welcome. Yeah, and I'm trying to do this every day again. This is episode number 504. It was so hard to get to episode number 500. I was struggling. I was in a slump. Couldn't really think of anything I really wanted to say. I was kind of burnt out. The market was down. I mean, not like I look at price anymore anyway, but it was just like, you know, and now, I mean, okay, yeah, I'm being a fair weather fan, right? You know, now the market's going up again and here I am showing up every day, you know, okay, whatever, man. Hey, but I hung with it through Web3 and crypto all through this downturn. And hopefully this is a bull market. And, I'm opening up a skate park also, and I'm trying to use some of my crypto funds that I've saved to finally be able to cash out. Hopefully I'll be above water on that and be able to use that to fund a skate park, basically with a CrossFit business model plopped on top of it, to give people lessons, to help kids learn skate park etiquette, to help older people get back into skateboarding without completely killing their knees or backs or just themselves. Because I see it all the time at the skate park, like older guys, yeah, I used to kick flip downstairs, you know, and then they end up like completely blowing out their knee. And you're like, dude, I told you not to do that. You're 45 years old. But yeah, they don't listen to me. I'm 47 years old and I still skate like every week, basically. But I never really stopped. So, you know, I'm not like just jumping back on a board and suddenly thinking I can do everything I did when I was 15. But anyway, yeah. But well, I can't skate right now. I got this wristband that says I have a nitrous oxide. I have a bubble in my eye right now. I had a detached retina middle of last week, so I had to go into surgery for it. Emergency surgery. They attached my retina. And then yesterday I went back for a follow-up appointment. And he's like, oh, it looks good. It's healing good. Let me go ahead and just do my laser on your eye just to kind of just seal it up and make sure everything will just stay put. And I'm like, oh, man. So I had to have another surgery on my eye yesterday. And this is not LASIK. This is like full-on retina laser surgery. So it hurt. But hopefully that's the last of it. I have to wear this bracelet on my hand for the next 5 weeks. I can't fly in a plane, I think, because my eye might explode or whatever, you know, and I'll go blind because of the pressure of the gas inside there. So, yeah, not fun. Take care of your eyes. You know, it's important. Anyway, so that's not what this show's about. I'm already, 3 minutes in and I haven't even gotten to any crypto yet. So let's get to some stuff. Some of the things I like to focus on in this show are like tooling, like yes, I like to talk about the big macro stuff and, you know, what's the government doing as far as regulating crypto? Yeah, I mean, sure, it's great, you know, but there's a lot of shows that talk about that. I also like to talk and play with like specific little tooling in the crypto world because there's a lot of it, you know, and in DAOs, which DAO, D-A-O, stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization. Yeah, there's a lot of DAOs that aren't really decentralized and they're basically just online communities. But just the overall goal for a lot of these people who join DAOs are to try to be like a decentralized flat organization with no hierarchical type of control. I mean, yes, there are people there that kind of lead things and have more influence, or, you know, kind of soft influence, maybe not like actual ranks, you know, formal titles and all that stuff. But mainly those are just the people that show up every day and are like really important contributors. But the goal is to try to be a decentralized organization with a decentralized treasury and all that type of stuff. And there's a lot of tooling to do that. Like there's snapshot voting tooling that allow people to vote on the blockchain. So nothing can be altered. Nothing can be taken back. You get I mean, if we could put our voting in the United States for our actual politicians on the blockchain, there would be no question as to, you know, whether or not somebody's legitimately in office or not. Like, we would know. And it's just like, I don't know why we haven't implemented that. It's like somebody doesn't want us to actually know what the results are. or somebody has a large contract with a voting machine company, a certain voting machine company, and they don't want to give up that type of money or control either. I don't know, but that's just me. What do I know? I'm just a lay person here. So anyways, let's go over here to this tool called Joker Ace. I thought it was kind of interesting. So that was Snapshot. There's another one called Coordinate, which allows you to like on-chain be able to pay people, you know, partly based on their role and partly based on meritocracy, and you get to pay your peers, you know, through allocation of certain funds from the treasury. And that's another tool. There's just all types of different tools that allow DAOs to operate like on chain programmatically using a protocol without like, you know, interference or, you know, some kind of, it's a way to decentralize hierarchy, basically. So not just one person or board is calling all the shots. So here's another tool called Joker Ace. I thought it was kind of interesting. This DAO tool allows you to create contests for communities to make, execute, and reward decisions. And I first learned about this. David Phelps, I talked about him two episodes back. I quoted one of his tweets. He came on the Crypto Sapiens show for an amazing interview. Let's see here. If you haven't been to Crypto Sapiens, you should go check it out. It started off as a podcast. Now it's turning into like a whole, you know, different type of newsletter outlet with podcasts. And we're also, I'm one of the main AV producers on there. I'm considered a founder now, I guess, which is awesome. Yeah, you know, a lot of crypto news on here, just on different technologies and people in crypto. We've had the Don't Say NFT podcast series going on there. We have the podcast here. We had Rachel Rose as our most recent host. We have Donnie Clutterbuck as a host on the Don't Say NFT show. And now we're looking for another host. So think about it kind of like an open mic platform, podcast platform, in which we find a diverse array of people in the Web3 space. We give them the opportunity to present like a 12 episode series and just, you know, take some kind of aspect of Web3 and then do like a 12 episode series to approach that aspect from all types of angles. And Rachel did hers on DAOs, and she has, you know, interviewed founders from lots of different projects in DAOs. Donnie did his on Bitcoin ordinals, which is cool. And we'll get to that, back to that in a second. Humpty is in the middle of doing stuff on digital identity. But anyway, back to what I was talking about. David Phelps, he was the one who enlightened me to this tool, Joker Ace, and he was a guest on Crypto Sapiens, and Humpty Calderon interviewed him, and that's how I got to know about Joker Ace. I think he's one of the main DAO contributors over there. So anyway, back to the tooling in my roundabout way that I kind of do. So Joker Ace is cool. It's like a contest for communities to make, execute, and reward decisions. So what you can do is on your online community or in your DAO, you can create some kind of contest to be able to plug in and have people vote on it. For instance, there was one where you can submit a poem, and there's a prize. You can set a prize amount. You can set submissions for everybody, or submissions for just your community, or you can specifically name certain profiles that can vote. Then you have the time allotted for voting. And basically, you can just plug it into the DAO website or community or whatever. Let's see here. Folklore Seedcraft Art Contest. And this one here is on the Optimism chain. Let's take a quick look at this one and see. So loading contest info. Folklore Seedcraft Art Contest. The winner gets 0.11 ETH. I don't know how much that is. That's probably about $150, I think. If I'm correct, because I think 0.01 ETH is about $32 to $35. And I don't know, somewhere around there. My math, dollar to ETH translation is not very well lately, because I haven't been keeping track of price. So let's see here. Remix NFTs to win. Remix Folklore Seed NFTs and win. So let's read more about this. Folklore is a community of explorers reading and discussing how culture and society is being impacted by our increasing interconnectedness worldwide. Folklore has an ongoing curation and uses funds from members to commission new writing. In Folklore's first open competition, we welcome anyone to use Folklore's graphic seeds, link below, and remix them using Source, also link below. You can link your artwork, you can keep your artwork pure by only remixing seeds, or corrupt it and transmute it with any other NFT from the Zora network. The winner will be provided a 200 USDC payment and a free membership for the next season of Folklore. Kind of cool, man. So let's go check out this Folklore Seed collection. Mint them all. You can opt as an option. You can download the Source, remix, publish on Source. Cool. So this is kind of a cool contest. Let me open this link in a new tab and just take a quick peek at what's going on over there. And here's the parameters. Submissions open November 6th, submission close, voting. And then they have the voting period after the submission ends. Qualified wallets can enter a max of 2 submissions. Contest accepts up to 100 submissions. Anyone can submit. To vote, you must be on the allow list. So it's kind of an easy way to create these types of little contests, voting mechanisms. And here's the rewards pool address. So you can see that the rewards are there. Nobody's like just trying to take your submissions and run off with them or whatever. So let's go take a look at this. Folklore Seeds. Okay, these are all NFTs on the Zora network. I've talked about the Zora network before on this show. So let me expand this out so I can read this for you. Okay, so Folklore is seeding and seeding. So S-E-E-D-I-N, and then in parentheses, and seeding, C-E-D-I-N. It's graphic identity to its community. So yeah, so they're letting the community decide what their graphic identity, their branding will look like. So this identity consists of no approved assets, no brand guidelines, no official typefaces, nor colors. In their place, Folklore offers the source material of these canonical objects, seeds, prompts, references, and open-ended narrative concept through which to imagine Folklore's activity. The curious swarm navigates the labyrinth. And see, this right here is one example of why I love Web3. It has nothing to do with price speculation and like buying the next NFT that's going to moon so you can cash in and flip it and all that type of stuff. It has zero to do with that. It's like this type of stuff, like this free thinking, this art, this ability to like just like freely create and do cool stuff like this. So you can use all these as the seed for the idea. And then you can combine it, you can alter it, you can do whatever you want with these NFTs. And then you can submit it again as a different NFT and into this contest. And bam, you know, you have a submission for it. So let's see some other stuff here. So here's how you do it. You create a prompt, you submit a proposal, like for example, submit a proposal as one of the ideas, design the new logo, which is what that one was, or what features should we build? As a community, you can throw the decision out. As a community leader or whatever, or as a DAO, you can, instead of making some kind of large unilateral decision of this is what we're going to do, you can throw the vote out to the audience. And yes, there are some other voting tools, but this is one way to do it. What features should we build? You pick who can submit. Let anyone submit responses or set requirements for who gets to respond. 3, pick who can vote. Set requirements for who can vote. Pick how many votes they can get. And then optional, 4, reward the winners. Set a rewards pool to winners. Decide what percent each rank gets and invite others to fund the pool too. So you could pool together everybody's resources to make the prize bag bigger. There is actually a website that's been around for a long time in the Web3 space called Pool Together. And it's kind of a decentralized Web3 lottery where, you know, you can pool to get everybody gets to put in funds like a lottery, and then weekly they pick a winner of all that pooled together funds. And that pooled together funds are all on decentralized finance protocols in which it earns interest and staking rewards and all that type of stuff. So the pool bag is continuously growing. But anyway, that's something else. I'll do a whole other episode on that. The other one's been around forever. Pooltogether.io, I think is what it's called. This is Joker Race. So yeah, here it is. Grants, hackathons, awards, bounties, remix contests. So as anyone submits for grants, jury votes on favorites, proposals, budgets, draft amendments. A core team or creator submits proposals, drafts of work. The community votes on which one gets implemented. So it's just basically a really fun, safe community voting mechanism for things like DAOs. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. Let's move on to a different subject. So yeah, go check it out. JokerAce.xyz, JokerAce.xyz. All right. And then, let me go over here to my Twitter bookmarks. Yesterday I did, Humpty Calderon is the founder of Crypto Sapiens, and he plays around with all types of Web3 tooling. Another one that I found yesterday through Humpty, because he did a space on it, was abura.xyz. Okay, so let me go to the main homepage here. Abura.xyz, and that's on the Farcaster ecosystem. And yesterday I talked about the Farcaster ecosystem. But basically, it's like a Web3 decentralized Twitter X Spaces. So if you like Twitter Spaces without, but you don't like Twitter or X or whatever, you know, because it's all Web2 and centralized, in the Farcaster ecosystem, you could use Abura, which is a Web3 version of that. And you can take your Farcaster ID, your decentralized ID, basically, and go and plug it into Abura and create a Twitter. See, I keep wanting to call it Twitter space, and create an Abura space. And Humpty ran this Abura space yesterday. He called it finding his why, and throughout his Web3 and myself as well, I've been finding my why since I'd flipped on the switch, in the Web3 and crypto world. And yeah, I found that it has nothing really to do with like speculation. And yeah, of course everybody wants to make money doing what they love, and they would love to, you know, to have some kind of investment pan out. But, you know, like I said, just a second ago, like all this is about like creativity and art and human connection and stuff like that. So Humpty says, if you missed my chat about finding my why earlier today, you can catch the replay on YouTube. So he did upload it to YouTube. TLDR, I was feeling unenthusiastic and unmotivated in the work I was doing. And then the next point, set out to discover my why to better align my work with my purpose. He looked as far back as kindergarten to explore moments that were formative to him. And then next bullet point, compared professional achievements to understand what I perceive as success. And then next bullet point, gained a clear understanding of my core beliefs, values, in parentheses, which helped me discover my why, in parentheses, purpose. Was this helpful for you to discover your why? And why should I produce more content like this? I thought this was great what Humpty did. It's a great way to start and to experiment with this tooling on Abura, but to basically take the Twitter space model and bring it onto Web3. BillZH.eth is the creator of Abura, I believe. I don't know too much about that, but let's go take a quick look at the YouTube channel. As you can see here, here's Humpty starting the space. I'll turn the sound off, but so it's audio only, but it's worth checking out, you know, and it's just going through. Yeah, it's just a single screenshot, but it's audio only. I'll put the link in below the description, but it'll kind of give you a taste. It's basically a Twitter space, just in a Web3 version. And there's a lot of stuff like that popping up on the Farcaster ecosystem. So yeah, go check that out. So I wanted to show that. So thanks, Humpty, for doing that. Let's see here. And just like Twitter Spaces too, you can comment as you go along. All right. So another thing I wanted to talk about, where am I at? 20 minutes. Okay. So I usually try to keep these at 30 minutes. I'll spend the next 10 minutes talking about this. And this I could talk about for way more than 10 minutes. But this is another example of why we need decentralized journalism. I mentioned yesterday with everything going on in Israel and Palestine, whatever side you're on, you don't know what is true anymore, especially with all the deep fakes and the CGI out there is getting insane. You know, I've seen CGI models of a car on fire, you know, in something like Discrete 3DS Max, and you see the fire coming up from this insanely realistic looking car and next to all these buildings that are kind of crumbled down, and then they take and they blow up a little 3D sphere, and they just, like, you know how you can move things around in 3D software, they just move it through the smoke, and the smoke moves and reacts to this imaginary 3D ball. So, I mean, the stuff out there is insane what can be done, and all that type of stuff is being published all over the internet. Photographs are being altered to promote some agenda from one side or the other. And it's being done on both sides. I'm not pointing any fingers or blaming any one side or another. Both sides are doing this type of stuff to try to wag the dog with its tail, you know, to try to point the narrative. So what journalists need more than anything is a blockchain that cannot be altered to be able to upload their testimonies, their photographs, their videos, their writings and documents, anything like that, to have an unalterable source that can be pointed to. And that's part of what we do in the Journo DAO. So if you go to Journo, JOURNODAO.xyz, I'm one of the founders there. We're trying to educate journalists on how to use these Web3 tools to be able to create that unalterable source of truth. And I know WikiLeaks tries to do that, and that's one of the main purposes of WikiLeaks, and I'll explain that in a second. But WikiLeaks is still Web2 and depends on servers, like centralized servers. So where was I going with this? Anyway, so here's a post here by Namsios. I have no idea who that is, but says an anonymous activist group is inscribing WikiLeaks Afghan war logs into the Bitcoin blockchain to protest Julian Assange's imprisonment. And if you don't know who Julian Assange is, I don't take anything for granted, because online there's a bunch of very smart people, and they, oh, you don't know who Julian Assange. There are a lot of people who don't know who Julian Assange is, you know, or don't know what WikiLeaks is. You know, you, a lot of these people in the Web3 space or in the crypto space or, you know, in the Twitter world even take for granted that there are just a lot of people that are just not paying attention. And Julian Assange created WikiLeaks, which is a news platform, let's go over here, to basically publish documents that are leaked or you know that are unaltered and that the mainstream media won't publish or can't publish or anything like that. And here's one about the Afghan war diary. Hold on, let me go back to here, and I'll let WikiLeaks explain what they're about here real quick. So what is WikiLeaks? WikiLeaks is a multinational media organization and associated library. It was founded by its publisher, Julian Assange, in 2006. WikiLeaks specializes in the analysis and publication of large data sets of censored or otherwise restricted official materials involving war, spying, and corruption. It has so far published more than 10 million documents and associated analyses. So this has nothing to do with like conspiracy theories or anything like that. This is like people just like publishing raw documents out there saying, take a look for yourself at stuff that's going on. So here's an example of that, the Afghan war diaries. WikiLeaks has released a document set called the Afghan War Diary, an extraordinary compendium of over 91,000 reports covering the war in Afghanistan from 2004 to 2010. The reports, while written by soldiers and intelligence officers and mainly describing lethal military actions involving the United States military, also include intelligence information, reports of meetings with political figures, and related details. The document collection is available on a dedicated webpage, right? So, back to this tweet. An anonymous activist group is inscribing WikiLeaks Afghan war logs into the Bitcoin blockchain to protest Julian Assange's imprisonment. And an unknown Project Spartacus has formed in an attempt to immortalize on Bitcoin the thousands of Afghan war logs published by Julian Assange. So it cannot be taken down. All that stuff that certain entities do not want you to see is now becoming immortalized on the Bitcoin blockchain. Nobody can take it down, no matter who it is. You cannot alter the Bitcoin blockchain. It is the most secure and the most decentralized blockchain out there. I mean, some people argue, yeah, there's Monero and Pirate Chain and all that stuff. Those are anonymous. Once something is inscribed on the Bitcoin blockchain, you can't go back and reverse that blockchain. And I'm not going to get into the exact mechanisms of it, but just you can't. So what started with a mysterious inscription on October 7th may end up turning into the latest global protests in support of journalist and activist Julian Assange. So what a Bitcoin ordinal is, are basically NFTs on the Bitcoin blockchain. And NFTs have been around for a long time, well before Ethereum, well before Bored Apes or CryptoPunks or anything like that. NFTs have been able to be on the Bitcoin blockchain for a long time. And Bitcoin purists might argue with that. Bitcoin is not a financial tool. Bitcoin is a protocol, and it can be used for a lot of other things besides financial tools. And I think finance was the kind of Trojan horse in which got Bitcoin into the world. And then now people are discovering that it can be used for tons of different stuff. So Project Solidarity, Project Spartacus, an act of solidarity for Julian Assange. So Project Spartacus has formed in an attempt to immortalize on Bitcoin the classified information that the U.S. government has long alleged Julian Assange illegally provided journalists in the infamous Afghan War Diary. Following the inscription, an anonymous individual has contacted Bitcoin Magazine claiming responsibility for the project. So it's anonymous. It's being put up there as a protocol, basically, which aims to inscribe the tens of thousands of logs from the Afghan war published by Julian Assange's WikiLeaks in July 2010 into the Bitcoin blockchain. These logs created a big upheaval in the U.S. media at the time they were published and elicited strong reactions from the country's government. Notably, the content of the logs not only differed from what had been presented in mainstream media, but also offered troubling insights into what actually happened in Afghanistan. At times, the logs raised questions about the conduct of some U.S. military operations. The publication of the war logs, which was coordinated with The Guardian, New York Times, and others, caused a spur inside the government. The first indictment brought against Assange focus on an alleged conspiracy between him and Chelsea Manning to crack an account on a computer in her military base. Per the charges, the primary purpose of the conspiracy was to facilitate Manning's acquisition and transmission of classified information. However, as reported by The Intercept, it later became clear that the alleged hacking not only did not happen, but it couldn't have happened. New testimony reported by investigative news site Shadowproof also showed that Manning already had authorized access to and the ability to exfiltrate all the documents she was accused of leaking without receiving any technical help from WikiLeaks. So Julian Assange was not guilty. WikiLeaks was not guilty in this. In truth, the indictment describes the kind of activities conducted by many news organizations and journalists every day, including obtaining and publishing true information of public interest, communication between a publisher and a source, and using encryption tools. So in addition to the Afghan war logs, WikiLeaks also published those of the Iraq war. There's a picture below. It depicts a wounded Iraqi being loaded onto a van during an attack by Apache helicopters that killed a dozen people in Baghdad, including two Reuters news staff on July 12, 2007. I've seen this video. It's pretty terrible. It shows the guys in the helicopter going circling around these people, and they're trying to load people onto a hospital van, and they just basically ask for permission to engage or give them permission, and they just basically blow them into the sky. It's a terrible video, but you find this stuff. online nowadays. And I didn't know if it was true, honestly, but it turns out that that one was absolutely true. It wasn't altered or AI. And then now it is being published on the Bitcoin blockchain, so it can never be altered or censored or anything like that. So it seems this backdrop is the context through which Project Spartacus attempts to take a foothold in the Bitcoin ecosystem. The project leverages the Ordinals protocol, which is a meta protocol for Bitcoin that lets anyone add arbitrary data to the original cryptocurrency's blockchain. Given the properties of Bitcoin and its decentralized network of nodes, once data is added to the blockchain, it can never be removed or altered. Such properties are seemingly great for the use case of combating censorship of information. Under the slide, it seems Project Spartacus aims to take a stand towards freedom of information and knowledge, making it impossible for anyone to mess with the data that Assange risked his life to make public. The journalist currently faces potential extradition to the United States despite being an Australian citizen and not having committed legal offenses on U.S. soil. The outcome of the extradition process remains uncertain and continues to grow regarding his future, whether he will ever regain his freedom. Project Spartacus's website includes a public interface through which any person can inscribe Ordinals token. That's inscribing means basically minting. So it's like the NFT, you mint an NFT, in Ordinal, you inscribe it. But it's kind of the same process. Ordinals jargon for adding data to the Bitcoin. Project Spartacus's website provides a public interface, so anybody can do this, through which any person can inscribe a war log. There seems to be no fees associated with this action apart from network fees, which is a necessary component to any transaction submitted to the Bitcoin network. So network fees are basically gas fees that you pay to interact with any blockchain, and those gas fees are there to prevent DDoS attacks, DOS attacks, denial of service, in which, you know, call requests are overloaded by hackers to try to overload a system and make it crash. So that's why gas is there. And it also helps to pay the miners who run those nodes. So let's see here. Where it says donations are said to go towards supporting the following organizations: Freedom of the Press Foundation, the Information Rights Project, and Reporters Without Borders. So a huge rectangular button appears on the main page, publish war log. Upon clicking, the process of inscribing a war log is triggered. The user is given the option to choose how many logs to inscribe, with a maximum of 300 war logs per transaction. Anyway, so yeah, Bitcoin, here's a little what I was talking about. Bitcoin being more than money. And money was kind of the money use case was kind of the Trojan horse to bring cryptocurrency into the world. Commonly seen as a monetary network, Bitcoin can also serve as a decentralized and unstoppable publishing technology thanks to the Ordinals protocol. Created last year by Bitcoin developer Casey Rodarmer. Ordinals aims to make it easy for anyone to add data to Bitcoin, be it text, image, video, HTML, or Markdown. Now, I know the last year that it was created by Casey Rodarmer, Ordinals, but the concept and the functionality has been there for a long time, actually. NFTs have been available on Bitcoin. PayPays were first created, the little frog character on Bitcoin, a long time ago. anyway, the development saw a parabolic surge in activity within a few short months. The amount of inscriptions added to Bitcoin in the first 200 days following the launch of Ordinals was greater than a number of Ethereum NFTs created in the same 200-day period after non-fungible tokens went live on ETH. So if there's two podcasts you can listen to that talk quite a bit about Ordinals. One is the one on CryptoSapiens.xyz called Don't Say NFT. And then the other one is the Ordinals show. So search Don't Say NFT or the Ordinals show on Spotify or Apple or whatever podcast platform you listen to. This rise in popularity caused a big fee spike on the Bitcoin blockchain, leading to some users to complain about the perceived uselessness of adding arbitrary data of what should arguably be a monetary network. Since Bitcoin is ruled by rules and not rulers, decentralized, right? The point of what DAOs are trying to do as well, and Ordinals transactions abide by the protocol's rules, the activity was able to continue and thrive for months, leading to a plethora of applications and new developments being built on the original cryptocurrency. Project Spartacus takes a spin on Ordinals' popular use case of doing NFTs on the mother chain to seemingly focus on complete data finality on the decentralized chain of information, which is run by tens of thousands of nodes in hundreds of different jurisdictions around the world. In this sense, Ordinals may well be the ultimate publishing tool that many in the world have been looking for to fight information censorship and tampering. So if you've heard the term Ordinals before by some kind of Bitcoin enthusiast, this is what they're talking about. So let's take a quick look at Project Spartacus. Here's the manifesto. Go to projectspartacus.org. Project Spartacus, an act of solidarity for Julian Assange. Imagine now if there's, hopefully there's going to be some kind of Project Spartacus that pops up for everything going on in Israel and Palestine today, so we can really get down to the truth of everything happening and have it be on the blockchain and uncensorable, right? This is for the Afghan war, which is also important, but that's in the past. I'd love to see it for the present. So Project Spartacus invites supporters to stand against government oppression, persecution of journalists, publishers, and whistleblowers, leveraging the censorship resistance of Bitcoin. Here's the introduction. Julian Assange, founder of WikiLeaks, has been enduring ongoing arbitrary detention and incarceration due to protracted legal proceedings at the hands of powerful governments. Julian is in his fifth year of unconvicted imprisonment at the notorious Belmarsh Maximum Security Prison in London, fighting for his extradition to the United States. The charges against Julian date back over a decade to when WikiLeaks, in collaboration with The Guardian, New York Times, Der Spiegel, and many others, published the Afghanistan and Iraq war logs. The indictment describes the kinds of activities conducted by news organizations and journalists every day, including obtaining and publishing true information of public interest, communication between a publisher and a source, and using encryption tools. And includes the publishing of over 76,000 logs from the Afghan War Diary of 2004 to 2010. Through coordinated action, this project aims to uphold the preservation of these significant logs, ensuring continuous access in an authentic, immutable, and uncensorable state. In doing so, we stand against the charges that Assange faces, charges that press freedom advocates criticize as an attack on journalistic freedom. Solidarity. As a first of its kind, Project Spartacus invites supporters to participate as citizen journalists by collectively publishing the Afghan war logs to the Bitcoin blockchain. So yeah, there's also something going on with Tornado Cash too. Roman, one of the founders of it, has been arrested and is also in jail for creating a protocol to do token swaps. So they're, you know, are they going to crack down on Bitcoin now because of creating a platform to create uncensorable documents and all that stuff? I mean, you know, Tornado Cash is a swapping, token swapping protocol. And so, you know, the SEC did not want, and the government did not want people to be able to swap tokens outside anonymously, outside of the KYC, which means know your customer system. And the coder, the developer who wrote that code, got arrested. Well, it just so happens that the coder of Bitcoin is Satoshi Nakamoto. Nobody knows who that is and is anonymous. So there's nobody to point the finger to, but the protocol is up there and out there. Anyway, I started to digress. Let's go back to the homepage of Project Spartacus here. Stand with Julian Assange, publishing the Afghan war logs to the Bitcoin blockchain. Go check it out. I've been going now for 37 minutes. It took a little more than 10 minutes to cover all that, 17 minutes actually. So let me go over here and check my stream, see if anybody may have commented or jumped on. No, nobody did. It's too early in the morning, and I haven't been doing this consistent enough. And it's unlisted. I haven't made it public. Jeez. All right, I'll have to fix that. But anyway, yeah, you know, when I was doing this consistently every single day, some people would jump on and chat and all that stuff. But not really at this point, but I'll try to fix that by trying to be consistent again. I hope you guys all have a good day. I'm here to just basically help promote the truth, you know, and help promote not just financial applications, but sovereignty, personal autonomy, and all that stuff that we're losing little by little every single day as this digital space is being lowered upon us. And it's a centralized digital space that wants to control and surveil our every movement. And how can we participate in this world yet still have our individual sovereignty and personal freedoms and rights? It's by educating yourself on how to use the tools to do so. And that's basically what I'm trying to do. All right, man. Well, I will talk to you all tomorrow. I'm driving to Houston, so I'll probably be streaming live from my hotel room. And I'll be there doing podcasts and recording people and covering with photographs and video this skateboard contest called Banger in the Hangar. All right. Well, I will talk to you all Later.